Well, as more information comes to light now on how governments around the world may have used Israeli espionage software to spy on different groups of people, it's also emerged that the Rwandan government allegedly tapped phones of people in this country, our neighbors, and elsewhere in the world, journalists, human rights activists, foreign diplomats, exiles, such as the lawyer and activist and the spokesperson of the Rwandan National Congress, Dr. Etienne Mutabazi. You remember, of course, in recent weeks, we had a fantastic conversation with the author, Michaela Wrong, just about how far the long arm of the Rwandan government can reach, particularly dissidents exiled around the world who continue to criticize Paul Kagame's government. For Mutabazi and the community of Rwandan exiles who found refuge in South Africa, these new reports confirm something they've long suspected and, in fact, have had to deal with for a long time. Dr. Mutabazi joins us now on the line. Thank you for your time this morning and welcome to our program.
Thank you so much, Bongani.
Talk to me about life, shall we say, if not quite on the run, but certainly in hiding away from what I've been describing as the long arm of the Rwandan government. How difficult is it to be you?
Can you come again with your question, please? I did not get it correct.
I said, talk to me about life on the run from the Rwandan government. As an exiled dissident, you're in constant fear of your own safety, and you constantly have to look over your shoulder to see who's after you.
Thank you so much. In fact, let me say that I left Rwanda in 1994, and since then I have not set my feet back again in my country of origin. That needs to be on record. And to also let you know that for 12 years, from 2000 to 2012, I worked for the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. In Arusha, Tanzania, I would be traveling anywhere around the world, especially in Africa, without any trouble. The trouble started when, in 2010, some of the former leaders within the ruling party, the Rwandese Patriotic Front, which is leading Rwanda, also fled because of their life, which was in danger. So we sat together and said, we need to look backwards and see what has been going wrong in our country that we can fix in terms of ethnic division and all the politics that go with that understanding. And that's when we started talking to people like General Kayumba Nyamwasa, the late Colonel Karegeya, and other people. And that, for us, was a legitimate understanding, and we thought it was the best contribution we can make to the country. But now we are labeled enemies of the state, and our wonder is to ask ourselves, do we hate the country we left? I mean, in terms of it's a geographical situation, or do we hate people, the 13 million Rwandan who live inside Rwanda now? And we don't have an answer to that. And because of the tiny group that is ruling as we speak, our lives have been put in jeopardy. But again, we will not keep quiet until we are no longer on this earth.
Yeah. You mentioned two names, Patrick Karegeya, who was, of course, murdered in a hotel here in Sandton, just a few meters, really, from where I'm talking to you. But also Kayumba Nyamwasa, the Rwandan general, the former military chief of staff, has survived a number of attempts on his life whilst living in South Africa. In light of this new information that the Rwandan government, which they've denied, to be clear, but in light of this new information that there are allegations that the Rwandan government is spying on dissidents, is spying on people like you who are exiled critics, it probably came as no surprise to you.
No, it was not a surprise, because I knew as early as 2015 that they were on my back. Sometime I will not raise it in the public, but I think the moment has now come to say everything that we know, including people by name who are tasked to follow us, because this in itself is a criminal activity. I'm a lawyer myself. I know what I am talking about. It's a criminal activity, and people who are doing it individually, even though they are agents of a state, should desist from doing it. Otherwise, they are engaging their own criminal liability by following us, and we know who those people are.
Tell me and tell our listeners, what is Nyumba Kumi?
Nyumba Kumi is the smallest administrative entity in Rwanda, which is in charge, in fact, of controlling the daily and the hourly life of Rwandans. If I said we have close to 13 million people, you will divide those people into small entities of about, let's say, 200-250 persons. And there will be someone on top of that grouping to cross-check how they live, how they sleep, what they eat. In fact, Rwanda is a route at like the North Korean style. That's the whole issue we have been raising, and that's why they are on our neck saying we are enemies of the state.
So you're saying that basically Rwandan society operates almost as a network of spies for the government?
Everyone would spy on everyone. Even if you were to go into the family of the head of state, you will see that they are spying. English, I was very surprised to find on the list of people who were spied against. One deputy minister is a professor, Shikimanase, in charge of East Africa. He's a close ally of President Kagame. He has been promoting him for quite a long time, but I saw on the list, if I'm not mistaken, but I saw his name, that he's being spied against. A wife will spy on her husband, a child will spy on his or her parents. That's what we are denouncing, and we will continue to do it until we put an end to it.
Talk to me about the apparently close military and intelligence ties between the states of Rwanda and Israel.
That maybe I will not be sufficiently informed on this, but what we know is that first of all, ideologically, Rwanda has made a kind of rapprochement with Israel, saying that because of the minority Tutsi, which is in power, they have endured genocide like the Jew genocide. That's ideologically one thing. On a strategic level, they want to portray themselves as a hegemon in the Great Lakes region and recently in the SADC. And in terms of operation, they would send many young Rwandans to go and study in Israel to be acquainted with its technology in terms of intelligence gathering, weapons handling, and all such. And we know some of those people have attended schools in Israel and who are behaving, even when you see the way, like, presidential guards dress. I recall an event recently in Goma when President Kagame was meeting with President Tshisekedi of the DRC. You could see the way his security guards were dressed. It's reminiscent of how the Israel sure. security guards dress. Sure. So it's a kind of a copied past.
So, and I suppose the relevance, of course, of mentioning the State of Israel is that the Pegasus spyware is manufactured by an Israeli IT company. We've had warnings, reported warnings, particularly for Rwandan exiles from security police in London, in Belgium, in Australia, everywhere around the world where you will find Rwandans in exiles. They have been warned about agents operating around them. Can you really get away from the Kagame regime?
You know, it's a situation we need to face it. And the example I've alluded to, those are quite a few among a sea of warning that happened. Even myself, I got a warning from WhatsApp directly. I spoke to some investigators, and it was not really aired in the media. But as I said, this will not deter us from raising our voices, because we know that Rwandans, where they are, whether inside the country or outside, they cannot speak by themselves, and we will not bow to fear. We will not bow to fear. We are fearless, and it is a challenge. It is disturbing, but it is a legitimate exercise to do, and we are ready for it.
Dr. Etienne Mutabazi, lawyer, activist, and spokesperson for an opposition party, the Rwanda National Congress.